I don't think he's been in here before, Alexandra Horowitz tells me, so it should be very smelly. By he, she means Finnegan, her ink-black Labrador mix, who also goes by Finn. By here, she means the small windowless room in New York City in which she runs psychological experiments on dogs. By smelly, she means that the room should be bursting with unfamiliar aromas and thus should prove interesting to Finn's inquisitive nose. And so it does. As I look around, Finn smells around. He explores nostrils first, intently sniffing the foam mats on the floor, the keyboard and mouse on the desk, the curtain draped over a corner, and the space beneath my chair. Compared to humans, who can explore new scenes by subtly moving our heads and eyes, a dog's nasal explorations are so meandering that it's easy to see them as random and thus aimless. Horowitz thinks of them differently. Finn, she notes, is interested in objects that people have touched and interacted with. He follows trails and checks out spots where other dogs have been. He examines vents, door cracks, and other places where moving air imports new odorants, scented molecules. He sniffs different parts of the same object, and he'll sniff them at different distances, like he's approaching the Van Gogh and seeing what the brushstrokes look like up close, says Horowitz. They're in that state of olfactory exploration all the time. Horowitz is an expert on dog olfaction, their sense of smell, and I'm here to talk with her about all things sniffy and nasal. And yet, I'm so relentlessly visual that when Finn finishes nosing around and approaches me, I'm instantly drawn to his eyes, which are captivating and brown like the darkest chocolate. It takes concerted effort to refocus on what's right in front of them. His nose, prominent and moist, with two apostrophe-shaped nostrils curving to the side. This is Finn's main interface with the world. Here's how it works. Take a deep breath, both as demonstration and to gird yourself for some necessary terminology. When you inhale, you create a single airstream that allows you to both smell and breathe. But when a dog sniffs, structures within its nose split that airstream in two. Most of the air heads down into its lungs, but a smaller tributary, which is for smell and smell alone, zooms to the back of the snout. There it enters a labyrinth of thin, bony walls that are plastered with a sticky sheet called the olfactory epithelium. This is where smells are first detected. The epithelium is full of long neurons. One end of each neuron is exposed to the incoming airstream and snags passing odorants using specially shaped proteins called odorant receptors. The other end of each neuron is plugged directly into a part of the brain called the olfactory bulb. So when the odorant receptors successfully grab their targets, the neurons notify the brain, and the dog perceives a smell. You can breathe out now. Humans share the same basic machinery, but dogs just have more of everything. A more extensive olfactory epithelium, dozens of times more neurons in that epithelium, almost twice as many kinds of olfactory receptors, and a relatively larger olfactory bulb. And their hardware is packed off into a separate compartment, while ours is exposed to the main flow of air through our noses. This difference is crucial. It means that whenever we exhale, we purge the odorants from our noses, causing our experience of smell to strobe and flicker. Dogs, by contrast, get a smoother experience, because odorants that enter their noses tend to stay there and are merely replenished by every sniff.